Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this
and
Constitution,
so, my fellow Americans,
the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
This nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
For peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
Welcome to Missouri Grassroots Radio. This is Lisa Payne Nager, and this is your Culture Vigilante Hour. It's the first week. It's our first show in September. It's September 5th, Wednesday evening, and I am sitting here in beautiful rain-soaked Lake St. Louis. I thought I would never say that again. We've actually had almost 3/4 of an inch of rain in my backyard today, and it's been cloudy and overcast for most of the last week, and I couldn't be happier. And tonight, we're lucky enough to have with us Mr. Hour of Truth, Dave Court, sitting in for a little while. How are you doing today, Dave?
I'm good. How are you, Lisa? Thanks for having me.
I'm good. It's always glad to have you here on the Hour of Truth and Culture Vigilante Hour. And I'm going to get my bearings here in just a minute, and we'll keep rolling. So,
it's all my rain.
It's the rain. I know. It's because I'm sun-deprived now, so I'm going to be a little flaky or flakier than usual. We've got a lot of stuff going on here tonight. It's been a real busy week. The Aiken controversy still continues. Here in St. Charles County, we've got a lot of funny business going on, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on this evening. And earlier this week on the Hour of Truth, we were talking about some local issues in Springfield. Dave, you had some charter issues down there in Springfield that we kind of batted around the other night, right, Dave?
Yes, we did. Yeah. They're trying to add gay people to the protected species.
Yeah. Here's the deal, folks. I don't know if anybody's been paying attention, but over the last week or so, especially beginning with the RNC, the convention, when they had all the shenanigans down there about changing the rules, changing all of the rules in the convention to make it, to really eliminate the voice of the grassroots and the voice of the elected delegates down there, that was kind of the beginning of the snowball over the last week. The president now has the total autonomy to disregard delegates that he's not happy with, and they can change the rules in future conventions. And there were a lot of things taken away from the folks over the last course of the last week, and this is all done by the Republicans, who are going to lead us out of the darkness of the socialistic totalitarian slide that we're headed into. This was all done by the Romney campaign. And then, of course, you all know that we've been dealing with the Todd Aiken issue over the last months, 4 weeks or so, where the Republican Party has been trying to force Todd Aiken out of the race, regardless of the fact that the people voted him in a three-way primary. So, you got it on a national level, you've got it on a state level, and we here in St. Charles County have now got it on a local level as well. We're going to discuss that more at length a little bit in the program, but we have a county executive here who seems to want to be able to crown himself king and appoint chiefs of police and take away the ability for elected officials in their elected offices to manage their departments on their own. So, we'll get into all those details later on. If you were with us last week, you knew that we were broadcasting live from the Americans for Prosperity headquarters, and it was a wonderful show. They were having a convention watching, and as we were going along, the evening was flowing. We talked to guests. We were talking to our and for various reasons, we had a little technical difficulty at the end of the program, and we lost Chris Arps at the end, and we're going to have him back in here tonight, and he's going to give us a recap of what happened at the RNC, and he's going to talk a little bit about the demographic vote. There was an article in the Huffington Post, I believe, a few weeks back, about the black vote and just where they expect that to go. So Chris Tarp will be talking to us about that, and we also have some propositions that nobody else is breaking. We're going to talk about that a little bit too. To give us a date, and for he was to get with it, so he may call in, he may not. If he doesn't call in, maybe we'll have him in again next week, but we'll try to keep things rolling. We'll keep it actually going on Prop E situation. First off, we're very fortunate to have with us tonight our talk to this gentleman last week, because he so organizing Scott Aiken in Camdenton, Missouri. He's also a member of the Lake Area Conservative Club, and we're happy to have Cliff Luber with us here tonight. Thanks for being with us, Cliff. Hello, Cliff Luber. Well, maybe Cliff has stepped away from the phone. We'll try to get him back in just a minute. Let's see if we can't find out what's going on. Cliff, can you hear us?
I can. How are you?
Okay, technical difficulties. Thanks for being with us, Cliff. How are you doing this evening? Thanks for being with us.
I'm doing. Can you hear me okay, Lisa?
A little bit.
Okay.
Are you on a cell?
Yeah, I'm on a cell.
Okay, that's great, right there. Don't move.
Okay. I'll try.
Okay, you are with the Lake Area Conservative Club, and that's in the Camdenton area. Is that right, Cliff?
That's correct.
So tell me a little bit about the club and how you guys got started. How long have you been in existence?
Well, Lake Area Conservative Club has been in existence for about 2 years now. It started with the Camdenton Tea Party that we started a little more than 4 years ago. And from that evolved Lake Area Conservative Club. The Tea Party was more or less about taxed enough already. And what we decided to do was we thought we need to go one step further and start advancing other phases of conservatism other than just fiscal restraint. So that's how the Conservative Club was formed.
Okay. So for as long as you guys so you jumped on the Tea Party bandwagon, I guess, when most of the rest of us did, decided to branch out into other issues rather than just focused on the tax issues.
We did. You know, I felt like most other folks did in this country who got involved in the Tea Party movement. We felt helpless. We felt like we were only one person, and we just didn't know what else to do. So we decided we would start a Tea Party and just see where it would evolve. We were just so upset about the direction the country was going and thought we needed to, you know, try to steer it in a different course.
So what are some of the issues that are burning in the bellies of the Lake Erie Conservative Club?
Well, we've been active in private property rights down here. As you may know, we've dealt with the situation regarding FERC, the Federal Electric Regulatory Commission, and also Airmen UE down here in terms of private property rights. We've been also involved in a lawsuit that the ACLU brought against the Camdenton School District here over filtering lesbian and gay and transgender websites. So we've taken on a host of conservative issues. What we're involved in right now is we thought what was going on here in Missouri regarding Congressman Aiken, quite frankly, was just wrong.
Absolutely. So is the rally for Todd Aiken your main event that you're focusing on right now in the next few weeks?
Saturday, this Saturday at noon at the Camden County Courthouse, we're having a pro-liberty rally and also a pro-Todd Aiken rally. You know, it's important to understand Cindy McGee from Show Me Patriots put it best when she said, this is just another example of Republicans running roughshod over its legislators who are conservative. And what we felt was, this was wrong, and this, what they were essentially trying to do, the establishment, was wipe away the results of the primary election. This race is not about a selection. It was an election, and the Missouri voters spoke, and we expect our legislators to abide by what the results of that vote was, which was for Congressman Aiken.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit last week. It was very clear to me at some point shortly after the event happened that there was a concerted effort by the establishment Republicans to run him out on a rail. And he, you know, he is not doing that. But, you know, as conservatives, you can't just blindly follow somebody with an R beside their name. It's really very important if we restore liberty and freedom back to our government on every level, local, state, and national level, you've got to understand that, you know, Republican does not always equal conservative, and you need to keep an eye on folks.
No, it doesn't. You know, the problem is because you're not a Democrat and you consider yourself a Republican, because you're to the right of the Democrat philosophy, people automatically consider themselves conservative. And I think over the last 20, 30, 40 years, you've seen the Republican Party slowly make that shift to the left, and now what you have in Missouri with the moderate five, as I like to call them, they're the ones that are trying to govern the party, and they're moderate at best here in the state of Missouri.
Absolutely. So let's just talk a little. How many folks are in your club? What's your membership?
Between the Camden Tea Party and the Lake Area Conservative Club, we number somewhere between 800 and 1,000 folks.
Okay, that's quite a hefty number.
It is, and it's been a 4.5-year effort. We have built email databases, and we do a lot of networking with those databases and with Facebook. So we just decided that this is the direction we needed to go. And we're real excited about what's going to happen here Saturday, and we're really hoping that folks will come from the state, across the state, and spend some time here in lovely Lake of the Ozarks and come and support Congressman Aiken and Liberty and our vote to make sure we send a clear message to our legislators that our vote did count August 7th, and we expect it to be respected.
Yep, absolutely. And so it should be a beautiful day Saturday. This event is being held outside in front of the courthouse in Camdenton. Is that right?
It is. We think the courthouse should be a symbol of where the people's business was done over these last, you know, couple hundred years. And it's going to be sunny and high of 75, and it's going to be a beautiful day. Congressman Aiken is going to be there. And if you have any doubts or concerns about what he said, or about his policies, he'll be there, and he's going to speak to the folks, and he'll also be around for at least an hour after the event is over to answer questions. And I think it's important that folks get a firsthand knowledge of who he is as a person, as a legislator, and a family man. When you consider the totality of his life, he and his family embody the American dream, I think.
Absolutely, and Congressman Aiken does have one of the most conservative voting records of any congressman in the state of Missouri, and he's pretty, you know, you could probably put him up against anybody in the country as well. He's one of our more conservative elected leaders, which is probably the reason why the establishment GOP is putting up such a fight to make sure that he doesn't get elected again. So tell me, Cliff, how do people find you on the internet if they want to get involved with the Lake Area Conservative Club or the Camdenton Tea Party?
We have the lakeareaconservativeclub.org. They can also email us at lakeareaconservativeclub@gmail.com. And if you have a minute or two, can I speak about the Constitution dinner we have coming up September 15th?
Absolutely.
Okay. You know, we started last year. We felt, you know, everybody celebrates Independence Day, and we think that's a day that needs to be celebrated. But we also think there's something missing in this country, and that was the celebrating of the signing of the U.S. Constitution. So last year we started for the first time a Constitution dinner where we celebrate the signing of the Constitution, and this will mark the 225th year since that document was signed. We have a dinner. We have some fantastic folks coming out as speakers. We have Chris Ann Hall, who's a constitutional attorney and speaker from Florida. We have Paul Kirkman, who's a Missouri State Representative and author of Don't Tread on Me. And then we also have a special guest. Her name is Barbara from Harlem, and she and her daughter are coming out from Harlem, New York. And they give a really interesting perspective on what it's like to be a conservative in Harlem, New York. They came out and spoke at our tea party we had last April, and they're a wonderful, wonderful people, and they have a very interesting story to tell. We'll have some constitutional skits that will be done by some kids in the high school, and it's really a good evening for like-minded conservatives who want to get together, celebrate the signing of the Constitution, and just learn to get to know one another, and it's really a fun evening.
And where's the event being held, Cliff?
It's being held at the Windermere Baptist Conference Center. It's over toward an area called Roach, Missouri, and off of Double A Road. It's a really nice establishment they have over there. And if anybody's interested, we have tickets still available, and they can call me at 573-480-4223. And if there's folks that are traveling, we also have some homes available, some motel rooms. We'd be happy to help you guys with some accommodations. But we would certainly love to have you folks come out and enjoy an evening with us.
Okay, excellent. And if you will send me that information, I will be happy to put it up on the Missouri Grassroots Coalition calendar page so that people can go there as well to find that information. And the rally for Todd Akin is up there as well, so that you can go to that our calendar page and find that information there and find out all of the details so that you can attend either one of those events. And so tell me one more time, Lake Erie Conservative Club website is?
LakeErieConservativeClub.org, or they can email LakeErieConservativeClub@gmail.com, or they can call at 573-480-4223.
And information about both of your events is there? Right?
Yes, yes, ma'am.
And it will also be up on the Missouri Grassroots Coalition page. And anything else before
we sign up? Well, we just hope the folks take the time to come out. This is the first major event that Congressman Akin has spoken at. We're thankful for Bot Radio Network. Mr. Bot has gotten very involved behind Congressman Akin. We want to thank you guys, and also we want to thank the 912 groups and Cindy McGee from Show Me Patriots and some folks that are coming down. We're real excited, and we're thankful that they're taking the time to come down, and everybody's welcome to stand up for what we think is really a historical event.
Well, that sounds wonderful. Don't forget to look for that information on the Missouri Grassroots Coalition page. Thank you, Cliff Luber, for being with us tonight. Check in with us if you have anything else going on. We want to hear about it. Let us know.
And Lisa, thank you very much for what you do for the folks here in Missouri.
Oh, thank you. We're happy to help. We'll talk to you again soon.
Have a nice evening.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, I've been getting some information from Dave on the message board here that there's some hanky-panky going on at the Democratic National Convention. What's going on here, Dave?
Well, there's a major, looks like there's a major struggle going on there. I'm sitting here watching the feed right now, and there's a major struggle going on about the removal of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel from the Democratic platform. It seems like a lot of Democrats seem to be upset about that, and there's quite a fight going on. Unlike the Republicans, they haven't seemed to been able to keep their fight out of primetime television.
I saw a wonderful clip today where somebody was ripping apart the guy on Fox News for on the same comment. They just don't want to admit that they're taking God out of their platform, and it
right.
was very clear that they were doing so.
Yeah. A group of Democrats who are not too pleased with that have taken that fight right into primetime TV.
Well, we'll have to go back and watch it on YouTube. It ought to be good.
Yeah.
We're going to take a short break here, and then we're going to come back and talk about Proposition E.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners. Show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details. Missouri Grassroots Coalition, it's Christmas in July and August and September. Last year on Christmas Eve, MGC paid off the department store layaway accounts of two Missouri families who were not able to provide Christmas for their children. This year, we would like to at least double that number, and in an attempt to do that by the holiday season, we're asking you to consider donating a few dollars toward that effort. We know the holiday season is the most difficult time of year to ask for donations, so we're planning ahead and asking you to give whatever you can so that a few Missouri families will be able to celebrate at Christmas. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and look for the Secret Santa page. All the details are there for you to donate by PayPal, check, or money order. Conservatives have proven to be the most generous and most benevolent people in the United States. Please help us with this very small charitable project.
His life so dear, for peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
Welcome back. This is Lisa Payne Nager, and you are listening to the Culture Vigilante Hour on Missouri Grassroots Radio. We're going to move right in. We have a breaking story for the Missouri Grassroots listeners today. We have been following this Prop E situation since Robin Carnahan wrote this heinous ballot language, actually since the Missouri legislature failed to put ballot language in the legislation that they passed during the session to put this on the ballot for a ballot initiative. We've been following this poised and ready to pound on this because it just seems like at every turn the people are being sabotaged and being led into won't go into too far into the weeds and the details, but forced insurance exchanges. This ballot initiative is all about creating insurance exchanges under the Obamacare plan, which is mandated. You know, under law, we will have to have insurance exchanges. However, the question here in Missouri has always been, who's going to drive the bus on those? Are we going to allow the governor to control the insurance exchange issue here in Missouri? Are we going to put that in the hands of elected legislators where the people have a little bit more of a voice in influencing how things were run? Robin Carnahan wrote heinous ballot language, and we were off to the races with that. Peter Kinder filed a lawsuit in July or August, to have the courts rewrite that ballot language because it was very slanted and very biased against and confusing for people to be able to understand when they would go to the ballot, they go to the ballot box and vote the correct way. The courts sided with Kinder's lawsuit and required that the attorney general the court would rewrite that ballot language so that it was clearer to understand. And got to give Dave Court, Mr. Hour of Truth, all the credit in the world for digging this one up because he was doing some research today on another subject and came across the Secretary of State's website, was looking at the ballot language and rereading it to see just how it was written, and noticed that while under court order, the ballot language was rewritten correctly and understandable and it's clear to read.
The ballot title had in fact been rewritten, but the fair ballot language had not.
The fair ballot language had not been rewritten. So Dave Court uncovered that today, and we immediately called Kinder's office to get an explanation on that, and they're working on the situation. We're waiting to hear back from them. We had hoped to have Peter Kinder on tonight. it wasn't clear as to whether or not he was going to be able to be with us tonight to explain that. We hope maybe to have him on next week if things allow for that. But, Dave, when we were coming across this today, what did you think? I got a call from you early this morning, and we were all kind of scratching our heads. What was going on?
Well, what it is and I was just not really familiar enough with how that should work to know. That's why I called you. I was actually preparing for a presentation that I'm making tomorrow night on Amendment 3, which is a totally different thing. I went to the Secretary of State's website and to make sure that I had the ballot language for Amendment 3, the judge's thing, downright. And when I was there, I noticed that they had, in fact, changed the ballot title to read exactly what Judge Green said it should read, but that the fair ballot language, the fair ballot language that will appear on the ballot, has not been changed and reads exactly the way it did this time 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and actually, as you have that language, let me read it to you. Okay, the official ballot title, "Shall Missouri Law Be Amended to Prohibit the Governor or Any State Agency from Establishing or Operating State-Based Health Insurance Exchanges Unless Authorized by a Vote of the People or by the Legislature?" That's the official ballot title. That's what you'll see when you go to the ballot box in November. And it's my understanding that because the judge ruled that, you know, the original ballot language that Robin Carnahan wrote should be changed to what I just read you, the fair ballot language also follows, and Robin Carnahan did not do that. And the fair ballot language still reads, "A yes vote will amend Missouri law to deny individuals, families, and small businesses the ability to access affordable health care plans through a state-based health benefit exchange unless authorized by statute, initiative, or referendum, or through an exchange operated by the federal government as required by the Federal Health Care Act. A no vote will not change the current Missouri law," yada, yada. So here we go. You know, they took it to court. They fought it. They won. And Koster decided not to appeal the ruling. And it's my understanding that Robin Carnahan's not happy about that. That there's a little bit of a dust up between Carnahan and Koster over this issue, maybe some other things as well. But it looks to me like on the Secretary of State's page, there's been a temper tantrum thrown all over Proposition E ballot language. What do you think, Dave?
Well, I think so. Now, you know, this is when you go to the Secretary and the URL, the website that you need to go to read this is 972 characters long. So I'm not going to try to read that to you. But what do, folks, is go Google Missouri Prop E ballot language. And you'll see the Secretary of State site there. It'll take you right to the page that has all of the different measures that are going to be on this ballot and what Carnahan is going to use as the ballot title and the ballot language on the ballot for all of these things. Now, to be fair, and one of the reasons that I called you this morning, Lisa, was I don't know if this is just a matter of some bureaucrat who was in the process of updating the web page and went off to take their union authorized coffee break and never came back or just never got back to it, or if this is what she really intends to put on the ballot. And I assume that's, you know, kind of the direction that you were going when you called Kinder's office to find out what was going on.
Absolutely. We're just looking for clarifications, and we're still waiting on that from their office, so we're not exactly sure where things are in that area. We'll be happy to have Peter Kinder on anytime he wants to come on. And he's been on the show, and he explained to us very clearly what the lawsuit was supposed to do and how it was supposed to correct the issue. And, you know, very unhappy with the outcome of the language that Carnahan came out with in the first place. But it just seems to me, Dave, that, you know, for every step of the way, you know, my personal feeling, and this is just my personal feeling, I will never believe that it was an oversight to leave the ballot language out of the legislation in the first place. That was the first mistake. We have a Republican legislature that manages to get correct ballot language on all the other initiatives that they seem to put out, but they missed this one, such a very important one, you know, and now we just keep running up against, we're tripping over this insurance exchange problem, and why we can't get this worked out, I just can't understand it.
Yeah. I might lean toward agreeing with you. I've heard all the excuses as to how this happened, why it happened. They were in a rush to get this done, blah, blah, blah. And I will, you know, I will be totally on your side with that if we see that Kinder doesn't manage to get this thing here fixed. And I might just call the secretary's office tomorrow and see, and just flat out ask, you know, is this thing that's on your website the way you intend for this to be on the ballot?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is a public, you know, this is a public website. I cannot imagine that the Secretary of State public website is intentionally incorrect. It's a little worrisome. But we here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're ready to go. We're going to keep the people informed and engaged on this issue because it's a very important issue. And if we can't get the elected people that we've got put in office to get this right for us and to keep us informed and keep this thing on the right tracks, we're going to try our very best to do that here for you at Missouri Grassroots Coalition. We're ready to roll with information to put out there for folks and all kinds of contact information to share this. We've got flyers put up. We've got a forum on our webpage with information on there. We're ready to roll with all of it. Right, Dave?
Exactly. Yeah, we're ready to go. And you know, it this just occurred to me. In fact, it isn't something that I've been thinking about all day. But when you said something, it wouldn't be beyond Carnahan now to not put herself in contempt of the judge and to be printing the ballots correctly, but to just have forgotten to fix the website so that when people go there, they'll see that she thinks that they ought to believe this is denying someone health care.
Well, you know, I hesitate to go down that road. I don't want to accuse anybody of anything, but
Oh, no.
You know, it's just, you know, it just why do we keep tripping over this? I don't understand it. It's just a little bit unreasonable, I think. I think it's time to put this thing to bed and we are. I mean, we are on the verge of getting ready to print the ballots. You know, how many mistakes can you make over one issue? It's just a little bit ridiculous.
One person that ought to be royally teed off about this is Judge Green.
I would think so.
He was clear. He was clear that that language was unfair. I forget what the word was he used, but it had something to do with circuses or, he was very, very belittling of the Secretary of State's office in the way this language had formulated.
Okay. Well, we'll be ready. You know, we're ready to help folks get engaged and informed and educated on the issue. And, you know, if we don't hear something, by maybe Friday, Dave, do you think? Then we'll put an action plan into place and try to start helping the grassroots folks spread the word on this because
this is
just too important. And, you know, we've sat on this for several weeks now. And, you know, we've waited for the powers that be to take this and run with it and fix the problem. And, you know, we're having a hard time getting the problem fixed. So, you know, unfortunately, we're going to have to take matters into our own hands and take care of it ourselves. Okay. So that's that on the Prop E ballot language. We hope to have Peter Kinder on here next week. We try to have him on this week. We hope that he'll have some information for us. We hope that he'll be able to come on with us next week and say this was all a big misunderstanding. The problem has been corrected, and the ballots will go off to the printer in correct form, and the Missouri voters will not have to worry about being confused at the ballot box. So that's what we hope to come up with next week. We're going to take another little quick break, and we're going to talk about the issues in St. Charles County with the police chief. Welcome back to Missouri Grassroots Radio. This is Lisa Payne Nager. This is your Culture Vigilante Hour. And we have had a packed evening so far, and we've still got plenty to do. So let's talk about what's going on in St. Charles County. We talked a little bit at the top of the hour about power grabs by Republicans and how that's not working so well for the folks. We've got a lot of establishment Republicans, I guess is really the only way that you can say it, on many levels of government taking control and taking the voice away from the people. So we talked a little bit about what happened at the Republican convention last week with the rules change issues. The grassroots were very involved in trying to stop the freight train that was coming down the tracks at the convention last week, where the rules committee was changing the rules on the folks, taking the voice away from the people, taking the voice away from the elected delegates that were going to the conventions to help to cast their votes for their selected nominees. All of that went through in much the same manner. If you folks paid attention to what happened at the Raucous Caucus in St. Charles County with a ridiculous voice vote, with Boehner reading from a teleprompter, passing a vote that was very questionable, to say the least, which the end result was that, the railroad rules changes happened, much to the chagrin of a lot of people there at the Republican National Convention. And then, of course, we've been watching the Todd Akin issue for a very long time, very closely. We've been watching how the establishment Republicans have been working very hard to force Congressman Akin out of the race after a misstatement that he made on a local St. Louis television interview. And the thing has just snowballed. I mean, they just came after him with a vengeance and a very orchestrated, well thought out campaign to just quash him by establishment Republicans. Well, since that time, Congressman Akin's poll numbers have risen. He's regained the support of some very prominent folks in the Republican Party: Phyllis Schlafly, Mike Huckabee, Newt Gingrich was on last week, supporting Congressman Akin. A lot of people have just kind of come back to understanding that this is all about fighting for the seat in the Senate, defeating Claire McCaskill, defeating Obamacare, and not rubber stamping everything from the establishment Republican Party. And then on a very local level, we have this issue in St. Charles County. And it's just as important to watch your local issues, folks, as it is to watch your national and your state issues, because your rights are being taken away on every single level. And sometimes we get so involved and so absorbed in trying to watch the big train, on a national level, that we forget to pay attention to what's going on in your very county. Dave and I were talking earlier this week. They have an initiative in Springfield that evidently the people are very hot under the collar about, and we talked about that on the Hour of Truth on Monday. Well, tonight we have an issue here in St. Charles County, and it seems that the county executive and some of the powers that be, the longtime powers that be in St. Charles County, are trying to make sure that they sew everything up as tightly as they can and take even more voting rights and voices away from the people in our county. The county executive, Steve Ellman, has proposed an ordinance to place on the ballot in November for the folks to choose whether or not they want to have an appointed police chief by the county executive, or do they want to maintain their ability to elect their sheriff, which they have done, I think, since the beginning of time. I went to a meeting last night in St. Charles County, a packed room full of citizens and police officers. There's very little support for this out in the community. The police officers, as far as I've been able to tell, in the sheriff's department, are not happy with this situation. They do not want to work under an appointed police chief. Sheriff Tom Neer, the acting sheriff, is the one who proposed this ballot initiative in St. Charles County, and he feels, from his own words, that this would take the politics out of the sheriff's department. And most of the officers that I've spoken to personally think that, that's just a ludicrous statement, that there's no way that you're ever going to get the politics out of something like this, whether it's a sheriff's department or an appointed police chief, police department. In addition to this, which I find very interesting, and we'll go into all of these issues tonight as much as we possibly can, the county executive also has proposed yet another ballot initiative to where he wants to take the oversight and have control over the county offices to which there are already elected elected officials running those offices. I'll just read you part of the part of the ballot initiative that's going to go on to accomplish this. Notwithstanding any other provision of the charter to the contrary, the county executive shall have oversight of the working conditions of all employees of the county. Should there be a complaint of harassment, discrimination, or gross mismanagement of any of an employee or employees, the county executive may have the complaint investigated. If the complaint is substantiated, the investigation indicates the harassment, discrimination, or gross mismanagement adversely affects the complaining employee and or any employees of the department, the county executive shall have the authority to take action to prevent harassment of, discrimination against, or gross mismanagement of any employee of the county, which means we don't have any reason to elect anybody to office except the county executive. You know, we have several offices that we elect in St. Charles County. We have the tax collector, we have, you know, the voting authority. All of those offices are elected offices, and all of those offices would just lose all of their power to the county executive if this ballot initiative passes. So anyway, there have just been a number of issues in the last few weeks that they seem to be sailing through the St. Charles County Council with very little opposition. I think there was a 6-2 vote on this police issue last week. And from what I understand, the meetings are being packed with people in opposition to this, and it just seems to be falling on deaf ears. What we really want to try to do over the next couple of weeks, because we're going to follow this to its fruition, we're going to follow this all the way to November. The police are trying to organize, the sheriff's deputies are trying to organize and produce a campaign so that they can go out to the voters and educate them on this issue and to tell them about all of the aspects about what this will really entail and how it will affect the sheriff's department and what duties will change and how this will cost them. Actually, it will come at some significant cost to the citizens of St. Charles County, and none of that is really being addressed. What I would really like to do here tonight is we have a police officer on the line with us. I do not want to identify him, and we want him to remain anonymous for obvious reasons. The only thing that I will tell you is that he is an officer, a law enforcement officer in St. Charles County. I won't tell you whether he works for the sheriff's department or one of the municipalities, but he is a long-serving officer in the county of St. Charles, and we have him on here tonight to kind of give us the perspective of what this really means from the law enforcement's point of view. Officer, thanks for being with us tonight.
How you doing, Lisa?
Very well. Thanks for taking the time out to come and talk about this issue. It's all kind of new. We're learning about all of the ins and outs of it. But last night at the meeting that we were at, there were a lot of issues raised. You know, the cost of it was just one issue. But what I was very surprised at, and I think I even asked this question, is a lot of the deputies and police officials are really against this, and they're coming out and speaking out publicly about this, and I'm just kind of wondering, isn't this risky a behavior for them? Is this going to jeopardize their jobs in any way? Obviously they feel very strongly about this issue. And we'll talk about some of those reasons why, but, I mean, as a police officer, you know, isn't that kind of a risky thing to do, to come out so publicly with this?
Well, there's always politics in any organization, whether it's a public organization, a private organization, or a police department or sheriff's department. And when people have to take sides, if there's an ability to retaliate against them, the officers or the deputies are always going to be concerned. I can say I do not work for the sheriff's department, so I'm not directly connected or going to be, I have no reprisals that I can think, but I'm familiar with law enforcement, and I did work for the St. Louis County Police Department for 11 years, so I do know about the operation of a county-wide level police department. I don't see the advantages that are being claimed by the proponents of this bill as being able to be actually bear or actually be achieved. I don't see that they're necessarily going to be. I don't see any evidence. They really haven't provided any. You know, at the work session on August 27th, I guess it was, there was an hour-long work session before the council meeting, and there were, I think, five police chiefs and Sheriff Neer there to present this. There were no citizens who were proponents of this bill, just all the police chiefs. It's available on the Internet. If you look at the meeting, there's very little evidence. It's basically, trust us, this will work. This is what we want to do. And I don't agree with that.
And, okay, so let's talk about the cost. Most of the time when you propose these major moves in any county government, there's a cost-benefit analysis done. And it's my understanding that nothing like that has been done. And there are some very serious things to consider. That I believe at the meeting last night it was mentioned that most of the police chiefs in the area make about $100,000 a year. So there would be a raise in salary from the police chief or from the sheriff to the police chief, most likely. We would also be paying a sheriff who has very limited duties within the county if this goes through. The sheriff's department duties will be cut drastically. Reuniforming the officers, restriping the cars. Would there be another building required? I mean, all of these things are huge cost issues, and none of that has been addressed as far as I can tell. Are you aware of that?
I'm not aware of anything. And as a matter of fact, and just to emphasize this fact, this was just, I guess, sprung on the public less than a month ago. And at the first reading of the bill on the 13th of August, I think it was, several of the council people said that they were inclined not to support the effort unless they saw a detailed cost analysis or saw some cost analysis. And that was what we were really expecting to see on the 27th. If you watch the video, you'll see that some of the council members were expecting to see on the 27th, but Sheriff Neer did not produce that. It looked like he was doing the computations in his head during his presentation. So I'm not sure that it's been all that well planned out. And I don't think it's been necessarily where the funds are going to come from has been determined.
Well, you know, I mean, this would be a major, major change in our county charter if they go from elected police chief to appointed police chief. Now, this police chief is going to be appointed by the county executive. What will happen is county executive will appoint a 5-person panel to interview likely candidates, and then they will recommend to the county executive, you know, suitable candidates for him to choose from.
Yep.
And as it stands now, is the citizens of St. Charles County elect their sheriff every 4 years, right?
That's right. And you know, the sheriffs are kind of a unique item in the world. I mean, they are American sheriffs. You know, they serve as the police leader and elected in a political election in their community. It's to give that up in such a short period of time without much consideration is to me not a good idea. You want, I think, at least some police leader in the county to be a direct representative of the community within the criminal justice system. Police chiefs almost universally are appointed, and that's you know, well understood. But sheriffs, it's not very common. I think there's somewhere around 3,100 counties in the United States, and I believe 32 of them have appointed police chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, and to take the power of the people, or to take the vote of the people out of their hands, and to place this all into the county executive's domain, is just one more way to tie the hands of the folks.
Right, right. And I would have to ask, why are they doing this now? I mean, there are so many things going on this election season, and I'm sure.
And so quickly.
Yes, yes. Why this? Why now? And who really benefits from it? I don't see that the people would benefit that much. There may be some. It may stabilize the positions of some people in the sheriff's department or of the chief law enforcement officer of the countywide policing organization, whatever it is, whether it's a sheriff's department or police department. But I don't really think it's a good idea, because their idea is it's going to reduce turmoil, but I don't think it's really going to do that. I mean, it really just kind of pushes it under the rug, any problems in the sheriff's department, and lets it simmer and fester rather than being brought up and being examined and reviewed by the people every 4 years.
Okay, so in your opinion, because you're taking the vote away from the people to be able to do this, this is kind of a rhetorical question, but I mean, how does this, in your opinion, make for smaller government?
Well, if you're taking away a vote from the people, I don't think it's going to make for smaller government. It increases the power of the government, centralizes the authority in that government to, like you were saying earlier, the county executive. So I don't really think it's a good idea. I think having having the people elect the sheriff and having the sheriff directly accountable to the people for what he does and his performance and the performance of his deputies is, I think, what is the American way. And I think to do it otherwise is something that I don't want to give up.
And from what I've been able to understand, officer, I mean, your opinion pretty much echoes most of the deputies in the sheriff's department from what I can see, because the room last night was packed.
In fact, I think it's been mentioned several times, and I think one of the council members even asked for the results of a survey that was taken by the sheriff regarding the employees of the sheriff's department's opinion on this ballot, and the results of that haven't been released. I haven't talked to any sheriff's deputy or anybody who hasn't supported this ballot proposal. Only the police chiefs and the sheriff that I've seen have stepped up in favor of it, and one Cottleville fire chief.
Right, and the police chiefs are always obviously going to support a police chief's issue, and that doesn't sound to me like we're taking the politics out of it at all.
No, I don't think it does take the politics. I mean, there are always going to be differences in any organization over policies, procedures, management, discipline. And those have to be brought and aired out and worked out within the organization. And often they are, and it doesn't cause a problem. But if they cannot be, and the issue becomes large enough that one of the deputies wants to challenge the sheriff on his policies or procedure or the way he's managing the department, I think that this every 4 years it gives them an opportunity to do that. And many people, there are two sides of that. Many people think they want stability. They don't want that to happen. Well, I'm kind of more about, I want the people to know what's going on. And I think they're the ones. This is, government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And if you don't let the people know what's going on, it's not really meeting those criteria.
So not really understanding the internal workings of a sheriff's department versus a police chief's department, as far as the interaction between the people and the department, would there be much of a difference as far as how that would go?
I don't think so, because the sheriff has said himself, when this takes effect, the people won't see any different. There won't be anything different. They won't see any difference in the operation. I don't really think that's the case. I mean, police department, our sheriff's department, there's politics within the department, but there should never be politics applied against any person, any citizen. That should always be an impartial decision. I think it is. I think in large part, whether you have a police department or a sheriff's department, that's always the case. Officers don't make decisions based on politics. When they're dealing with law enforcement decisions, they make it on the basis of what the law is. And if they're impartial, they should be. I'm talking more about the internal politics within the department. That's where there will be a difference. Police departments, police chiefs are basically they have ultimate power really within the department to do that, and that's accepted by police officers who sign up and work within a police department. Sheriff's department is a little bit different. When things, you've got a representative of the person running the department, and if they're doing a good job and everything's going well, the sheriff's deputies won't have any complaints. The people won't have any complaints. But if things are going badly or something, there's a problem within the department and the sheriff doesn't address it, then a deputy or another citizen who is qualified to be, that's one of the problems with that they say, is that just qualifications are so low. But if a person's qualified to be the sheriff, they can run against the sheriff and try to correct those problems.
You absolutely
can't do, that won't happen with the police department. Police, especially under this bill, it looks like the police chief of St. Charles County will basically serve until he retires. Unless he is voted out by a supermajority of the council. I believe it's 5 out of the 7 members. On this last, and actually I just want to correct something I heard a little bit earlier, it was actually 4 for this bill and 2 of the council members were against this bill.
Okay.
To get 5 and 5 of the council members to vote out would be highly unusual, I think.
Right. So, okay, folks, we're going to follow this issue closely all the way through November. We're going to get you as much information as we can on Facebook pages and websites and how you can become involved and engaged in this action and help the sheriff's department maintain their sheriff's department and not fall to an appointed police chief department. Also, you know, sounds like we kind of need to keep Steve Ellman in check. It sounds like he's trying to take control over some areas where he doesn't need to be taking control of. You know, we've got elected officials on many levels. We've always been able to vote those people in and out of office if we like or do not like the job that they're doing. We don't need to centralize all the power in the county executive's office. So we'll keep you posted for as much as we possibly can on the information that it comes in, when it comes in. We will put I do have information for you up on the Missouri Grassroots Coalition website tonight. The video that the officer was talking about at the county council meeting is up on the webpage now. And you can go there and you can see the county council meeting in question here and the argument that Sheriff Neer is making for the police chief change. Thank you for being with us, officer. We hope you'll come back again if you have some more information to talk to us and keep us posted.
I'll be glad to, Lisa. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye.
Okay, folks, can't stress it enough. You know, you have to be engaged in your local politics or state politics or national politics. You can't afford to let any of it go because while you're not looking, somebody's going to slip in there and take some of your freedoms and your rights away. And before we sign off tonight, I kind of want to give you a little calendar update on some activities going on around town or around the state so that you have an opportunity to participate in all of that. The Locke and Smith Foundation is having their Locke and Smith Banquet on September 15th. At the University Hotel and Convention Center in Springfield, you can go to lockandsmithfoundation.org to get tickets there. It's a great evening. They will be awarding their award to the most constitutional legislator on the Senate side and the House of Representatives side. So go to lockandsmithfoundation.org. If you're in St. Charles County, Americans for Prosperity is going to have a movie night on September 7th. They're going to show Atlas Shrugged Part 1 because Atlas Shrugged Part 2 will soon be out in theaters at their new headquarters at 1241 Jungerman Road in St. Peter's. If you want to get some information about Americans for Prosperity in Missouri, go to americansforprosperity.org. And also, Usama Dakdok was a guest on my program a few weeks ago. Mr. Dakdok of Straightway Ministry is an Egyptian-born Christian, raised the son of a Baptist minister, and he became a Christian at 11 years old. And he was on Culture Vigilante Hour a few weeks ago. He told about his life and the consequences of not paying attention to what's going on in this country as it relates to the Muslim extremist invasion. He's going to be in the St. Louis area starting this weekend, Friday, September 7th. He'll be at the St. Charles County Pachyderms at 12 noon at the Golden Corral Restaurant in St. Charles County on 1850 Sumble Road. And on Sunday, September 9th, he'll be at the First Assembly of God Church at 1105 Beltline Road in Collinsville, Illinois. And on Tuesday, September 11th, he will be at the K&N Candlelight Ceremony honoring the fallen at Highways K&N at 6 p.m. He's the keynote speaker at that ceremony. And you can go to knpatriots.org for information on that. And with that, we're going to wrap it up. It's been a very busy week, and we hope to be with you next week. We hope to have Peter Kinder on next week to talk about the Prop E ballot language. And to fill us in on some of those issues and as well. So thanks for being with us. Join us on Friday night when we'll be here for the Friday night roundtable, and Monday night again with Dave, Mr. Hour of Truth. And we'll see you again next week here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for your Culture Vigilante Hour. Have a great week.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.